Right, Karen.
Hello.
Welcome back to the John Corby podcast.
Thank you very much.
Episode 71.
Does that mean I've cleaned my house 71 times?
At least.
Seems I always listen while I'm cleaning.
Absolutely. We were just saying then, off camera before we started, 4 years almost.
That's crazy.
When you were last here.
Oh my God. 4 years.
It flies. It goes so
absolutely.
Quick. Absolutely. Definitely so. So anyway, right now, you're the people's very own personal travel planner, adventure creator, bucket list ticker, and memory maker.
Indeed. I'd wrote the same thing down this morning because I thought he was going to ask me what I do.
What do you do?
Exactly what you've just said I do.
Okay. So like 4 years ago, almost 4 years ago, you were just venturing into this, wasn't you?
Yeah.
Like, wow.
Yeah.
Tell me a bit about that.
Yeah. I mean, if you'd have asked me 5 years ago what I was going to be doing, I would have never said travel.
No.
So... yeah, to be here 4 years is quite bizarre. So, yeah, I was doing some property management, holiday property management for our own properties and for other people's, amongst other things, and felt kind of a draw to travel, really.
Sure.
Organising things, people were asking me for flights, people were saying, yeah, that property's really lovely, but have you got something here? And I didn't, and I was kind of like, you know, the signs and opportunities and... yeah, so it was kind of like, what can I build my business, but within the same
realm
yes. of things. But, you know, to start your own travel business, you've got to have very deep pockets, obviously, for bonds and stuff like that. So I just, as you do, just Googled something and travel counsellors pinged up and I'd never heard of them. But
oh, really?
Yeah,
really?
The browser stayed open on my laptop for a few weeks.
Right. So you literally just went to Google and
ask me what I Googled because I can't remember.
Okay. But you just put like travel franchises or something like that.
And I never looked at any other franchise.
Really?
It was only travel counsellors, which is weird because I'd never even heard of them.
Right. So you've not even come across them at all? Really?
No, not at all. Wow. And but looking at their website and then I left the browser open. And then about 3 weeks later, I was like, oh, you know, what does it hurt to just get some information sent?
Sure.
So filled whatever I needed to fill in online. They sent me this really lovely book. It was almost like a storybook.
Right, right.
And it was great. And I read through it and I was like, the values and everything.
Sure.
I was like, this sounds amazing.
Yeah.
It ticks all my boxes.
All your boxes. Because so, I do remember us talking about this, because I'd heard of them before, and I do remember saying to you at the time, the brand's really good.
Yeah.
Really solid brand.
There's me, like, never heard of them.
So they sent you the information, which was sexy,
looked
good.
Yeah, and I was like, I really like the sound of these. Spoke to emailed recruitment, they rang me, went over to their Manchester office, they'd just moved into the new offices. Blown away when I walked in. I was like, oh my God, it's like a hotel.
Yeah. Well, the Trafford Centre, was it?
It's opposite the Trafford Centre, which is very handy.
Yes, of course.
But yeah, just everything, their values, the way, you know, that the customer is the priority, everything just felt 110% right.
Sure.
You know, the price for the franchise, the support,
everything.
Yeah. And I was just like, brilliant.
Yeah.
This is just exactly
what
I'm looking for.
Of course.
So came home, talked about it with Mark, because obviously we're going to have to invest a bit of money to get the franchise. And he was like, yeah, if that's what you want to do, let's do it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Good stuff. And it really fit because you got like your specialities going back over what you'd done previously, you know, working in retail, shipping, logistics, sales, health and wellbeing.
You've done your research.
IT, property, and travel as well. No, your specialty is really is getting the job done.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Sure.
And it's weird because I think when I first went into the travel, and it was a conversation that was had at your Thrive the other day, the lady who did the graphic design and the makeup.
Okay. Yes.
She was like this identity thing.
Sure.
And when I moved into travel, I was a bit like, are people now going to think, this week, this is what she's doing?
Of course.
And it took a while to have that confidence to tell people what I did without me thinking
that they're going to judge you.
Yeah, that they're going to judge me like, oh, well, she's done this, she's done this, she's done this, and now she's doing this.
Sure.
You know,
do you genuinely think people really think that?
I think I did at the time.
Okay.
I don't know whether they do now. If they know me, then probably not.
Right.
So it was probably my own internal thoughts.
Do you know what's really interesting is that if you went back into them same circles now, how many people are still there?
Yeah.
There's probably hardly any of them still around.
Yeah.
It's like school, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Your life's ruled by school and your friends.
Yeah.
But then you leave school and you don't see anyone ever again.
Exactly. And a lot of those people that were in those circles are also doing different things now.
Yes.
And you know, you see it obviously on LinkedIn or wherever you're still connected. They've changed business and are doing something totally different. So we all do it, really.
Why do you think we create an issue about it?
I don't know. It's an internal thing. Yeah, it's totally, we are bothered about, we might, you know, we all might go, oh, I'm not bothered what they think, but actually we probably are. And you want to have the, I think, respect in business and people to know that you're genuine and you're not like tomorrow you're going to be doing something else. Sure. And, you know, so it's that kind of feeling, I think, as well. But that feeling's long gone.
It's long gone.
So yeah, I can't remember what the original question was.
Well, we're just talking about that, your experience as a travel counsellor. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So going back to what I've done, so like the logistics and the property management and obviously working with Matt in his IT business at the time. You know, when I look back at all what I've learned over the years in various jobs.
It's all prepped you for...
Exactly that. I couldn't do what I'm doing now.
Without that background.
Without all that background, you know, everything. You know, the logistics side of it. If I've got groups of travellers, you know, it's quite... Logistically, you're kind of thinking...
All
quite,
the time, yeah.
Yeah, where people are, what time, you know, does that fit with that? They're going out at this time. So the logistics side of that comes into it.
Of course.
You know, maybe the retail side in terms of kind of customer service and all that sort of thing. So I think you can take little bits of all that I've done over the years is what makes me be able to do
this. Put together, sprinkle travel councils on the top.
Bish, bash, bosh.
And there you go, here we are. Yes,
yeah,
good.
Exactly.
Good. So was there any time in this four-year journey that you thought, shit, I've made the wrong choice?
No.
Not once?
No. No. There's days when you go, shit, this is hard.
Yeah.
But that doesn't matter what business you're in.
Right.
But never, ever have I thought, what have I done?
Right.
Never. Every day I thought, it's best decision I've ever made.
Yeah.
Because... It also, for me, I know I'm only 44, got a long way off old age. Yeah,
you got at least,
but I could do this job.
At least the same again.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I could still be doing this job at 88.
Yeah, yeah.
Why quite not? Easily.
Yeah.
Why not? I don't ever need to retire.
Of course.
And if you love something you do and you don't want to retire, then this I can do.
Of course.
And I can do it from anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
I can be as big or as small as I want, you know. If I want to wind it down a little bit, I can wind it down. If I want to grow it, I can grow it.
Sure.
So for me, it just fits perfect for ever and a day.
So like the franchise and the buy-in, like, was it expensive?
No.
Right, okay.
I don't know what it is now. I think it's probably slightly more, but, you know, it's 4 years ago. But in the grand scheme of things, when you look at other franchises that people buy, absolutely not. It was very doable.
Right.
Very doable.
Okay.
And for what you get for your money.
Yeah, the support.
The support.
The marketing. And
exactly. So, you know, the initial outlay, you know, you've got the training, you've got, you know, equipment, you've got the systems, you've got your insurances, you know, everything's protected. So.
Yes.
You're literally set to go, really.
From day one.
Yeah.
Business in the box.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, no, I think it was very good value for money.
Brilliant.
And ongoing, I mean, you know, how it works is we have a commission split. So, you know, it's a 60-40 split.
Okay.
I absolutely have no qualms in the 40 split.
Okay.
Because for what we get,
sure,
in terms of support, you know, I've got a team of 400 people.
Yes.
Manchester, you know, plus other travel counsellors around the world at my fingertips.
Of course.
And it doesn't matter what the issue is, you know, there is someone
who can
help
there.
You.
Yes.
So for that, you know, it's great.
Good. So it's 60-40 in their favour.
In our favour.
So you get the 60.
Yeah. They get the 40.
That's so it's really good then. Yeah, really, really good. Yeah.
Which is great.
Yes.
You know, and
even if it was the other way around, I mean, that's
exactly.
Still,
yeah.
So, like you just said, with the support and.
Yeah, you know, the admin, the just everything.
Sure.
You know, your health and safety. I know that anything that I sell has been, you know, it's met the criteria in terms of health and safety and, you know, financial and all that sort of thing, they've got your back.
Yes.
At the end of the day.
Yeah. So what's been the biggest challenge for you in this 4 years then? So you've never doubted making this decision.
No.
But what's been the most challenging?
I think the challenge, certainly in the early years, and it's getting easier, is not running the business, because I've run a business now for 16 years in some shape or form.
Yep.
So it was never the business side of it. It was the knowledge in terms of destination knowledge.
All right.
Because when you tell somebody you're in travel, people automatically think you know everything about everywhere.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes somebody will throw a destination at you, you know, some far flung place, and you kind of go,
okay.
But they expect that you know.
Of course.
So I think in the early years it was a little bit of self doubt of how, you know, if I've got to put this together and I've never been there, I don't know anything about that destination, you know, how can I do this?
Sure.
But then a few bookings in, when you do get those sort of given to you, and you realise that you've got the support, be it head office support, business development, another TC, and you know, it sounds a bit corny, we are a family. And every TC will offer help
to everybody else. Which is beautiful.
Which is great.
Yeah.
And we've got partners, you know, in various countries. For example, I did a honeymoon in my first year. I did a honeymoon to New Zealand. I have had zero knowledge of New Zealand really.
Yes, right.
You know, knew the basics, everybody knows. But with the help of our DMC over there, you know, we put this great package together. They spent 2 weeks, you know, top to bottom of New Zealand, did all sorts, and actually, so then you kind of, I learned quite quickly that use the resource that you've got, and pull on other people's knowledge.
Of course.
And then the next time I come to do New Zealand, I know a damn sight more about it than I used
to. You did previously, yeah.
Yeah, so I think that was, they were the biggest challenges,
right.
But I don't see it as a good challenge now.
Yes.
So I go, right, I don't know a lot about that destination. However, I will learn about it and understand it and, you know,
master it.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that was definitely the biggest challenge.
And so, like, 4 years in, I mean, like, is it much different from any previous business that you've had? I.e., does it take a period of time to make money?
Yes.
And make profitable money for yourself? Because you got bookings pretty much straight away. I mean, you were one of the high flyers, wasn't you?
Yeah. I mean, not high flying as some of them, trust me. Yeah, I think because I didn't come from travel. So within travel counsellors, you've got what they call academy. So it's people that are not from travel.
Yep.
And then you've got return to travel or people that have maybe worked in a shop or whatever. So you've got sort of two entry points, and obviously they train you and support you in
different ways.
Yeah. Yeah, it was to earn the money. I went in knowing that it's like any business.
Sure.
You know, you're not going to earn
loads of money.
Straight away. You've got to build it. I was building a new business, really. It took some time to do that. I've always earned something, and some months it's been better than other months. But that's just the way it is in business, isn't it?
Yes, of course.
But now for me, I think kind of once I got to the 3 years, I've started seeing a more consistent income, which was always my yearly goal, was to get a consistent income of a certain figure.
Yes.
And it's getting closer and closer to that consistency now.
Right.
And that's all, you know, that's my goal, is just that particular figure consistently.
Sure.
It's not, it's not millions.
I
don't need that to survive. Sure. So yes, it does take time.
So it's in that sense, it's very similar to any traditional business.
Absolutely, because it is.
Two, 3 years in, you start to think about making some profits out of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they're very honest with you, head office. You know, they do look at, you know, is there another income, you know, that's obviously paying mortgage and stuff like that. So, you know, they do go through all that with you.
Of course. Like a break even.
Yeah.
Like a survival budget.
Yeah, there's months that it's easier than others, but that's just business.
Of course, yeah.
You know.
Is it stressful?
It can be.
Yeah.
People think it's great. People go, oh my God, it must be amazing what you do. You just sit and look at holidays and really nice destinations all day long. Yeah, we do.
Yes, but
you take that aside, you know, you've got lots of factors in there. You've got lots of sort of components that sometimes are not always in your control. You know, you've got airlines that are going to go on strike, or airlines that are going to go bust.
Oh, yes.
You know, or weather or storms. So it can be stressful.
Sure.
I don't do stress massively. There's times that I'm kind of like, oh.
Right.
But I kind of have to bring it all back into perspective. But it can be.
Yeah.
Like any job.
But do you think that's because one of your previous businesses was a professional stress management company?
Yeah.
Do you think that's giving you the techniques to be able to deal with it?
Definitely. Yeah. Because I know myself now, and I know exactly when my stress levels are getting higher.
Okay.
I clean.
You're
I
clean.
Listen to podcasts. So I know when my brain's full.
Sure.
And my levels are getting high. I know it. I know my symptoms, if you like. I can spot it.
Yeah.
And
so, what do you do then? Like when you're starting to feel this coming along.
Yeah.
Like, what technique do you use? Is there a technique, or
I do have to step away from it.
Yeah.
So obviously, stepping away from it, as in that if it doesn't need doing like this second, then don't do it this second. So I do step away from it. I'll maybe go for a run or something.
Right.
And in all seriousness, I do clean.
Yeah.
I'll know because I'll be getting a little bit tetchy and a bit like, a bit OCD like, I think. So I will be, I'll tidy and fettle, I'll sort of draw out and things like that.
That helps.
It clears the mind.
Clears the mind, yeah.
I feel like if that's all tidy, then my head's tidy.
Got you.
I'll stop
Makes sense.
Redo my desk. I'll look at my to-do list and just prioritise it.
Yeah.
And think, right, well, that does need doing today, but actually if that's not done today, it doesn't really matter.
Yes.
It'd be great if it was, but if it's not, it doesn't matter.
It's not the end of the world.
Exactly.
Not,
they're not travelling for another 3 months or whatever, so really.
Sure. So it's more about prioritising.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, is there a system that you use? I mean, how do you determine what's a priority today and what can be pushed?
I think it's very much on when people are travelling.
Got you.
What is it going to have a detrimental effect on something if it's not done today?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it going to be, you know, the shit hits the fan if I don't do that today?
Yeah.
And if it isn't, well, then do it tomorrow when you're in the headspace and it's clearer.
It's clear, yes.
You know, I mean, yesterday, by the time I went out to netball last night, my head was just like, it was full.
Right.
And I came home and I was like, right, I am not going to open my emails or respond to a WhatsApp or anything because
you're switching off.
I can't. I need to switch. I need to switch off for my own sanity.
Yeah.
It was hard.
Sure.
You know, when you start watching someone on telly that's really rubbish and then you're thinking,
it's drifting and thinking,
I could just do that, but no.
So you've disciplined yourself?
Yeah.
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 How do you do that?
I have got good self-discipline.
Right, okay.
Matt always says that to
me. Really, yeah. Mm. Why do you think that is? Where does that come from?
I don't really know. I think I'm, because I am quite determined.
Right.
Stubborn. Yeah, stubborn and determined.
Okay.
And when I've got my mind set on something, then it's kind of like that's the goal. And I can be stubborn about, you know. So I am. I have got just good self-discipline.
Good
stuff, I think.
Sure. But do you think that's because lots of parts of your life is also disciplined? Like you go running, you play sports, you do things like that as well. You're a mom, you've got children.
Yeah.
So you have to be disciplined.
Yeah.
Do you think that leads into the business as well?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Because people always say, well, I couldn't work from home, I'm not disciplined enough.
Right.
I am.
Yeah. Yes. Because you had to be.
Because I've had to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm very disciplined in my routine of the day.
Of course.
And what I will do. I mean, I have flexibility in there. You've got to have a bit of give and take. Because things change, you know, suddenly you get a call from school or whatever. So there is flexibility in there, which I've had to learn to kind of, right, it doesn't have to be like that. You can do that later.
Yeah.
But I am disciplined in my health and my sport. And so I think that feeds into all areas of your life. If you can be disciplined in one, I think you can be disciplined in them all.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah. Come of it,
I think that's the good thing, isn't it? When you are naturally entrepreneurial, you look for solutions rather than problems.
Exactly.
And it's like, how can we fix this?
And that feeds from the top in travel counsellors. They're very much like, yes,
solution oriented.
Yeah, okay. It's not great. It's really sad for all the staff and suppliers that, you know, it's just a massive ripple effect.
Yeah.
That all the way through. That people haven't been paid and staff have lost jobs and everything else. We can't do anything about that now. All we can do is is what we do best.
Keep on fighting forward.
Keep on fighting forward and look after our customers, make sure they know they're protected. And that feeds from the top within Travel Counsellors. And I think that's what drew me to them.
Brilliant.
Is
the culture, the company.
The culture. And they encourage you to be entrepreneurial.
Brilliant.
Very much so.
And entrepreneurial just is so natural to you. And your husband, I mean, you've both run multiple businesses together. You've had a business that you've run together, what you sold.
Yeah.
Even your children are young entrepreneurs, or they had their own little business.
They did, and it would have been this time as well with their pumpkins. Yeah, so this is the second year that they've not done it because they grew up and it was not cool.
Yeah, so how old was they when they first started the business, your children?
I think Liv was about 9, maybe.
Right.
9 or 10. Yeah, about 9.
Yeah.
So Megan would have been about 6.
Okay.
6 or 7.
6 years old with her first business.
Yeah. It's great, isn't it?
And how old was Liv then? So
I think she was about 9.
About 9, yeah.
About 8 or 9.
Right. And how old did they run the business for?
4 or 5 years. Five years. Yeah. I think it was 5 years.
Money.
Oh my God, yeah.
Did the P&Ls.
Yeah, yep. Brilliant. And it was Liv that totally instigated it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She just saw these pumpkins in the warehouse at my parents' caravan. There's a farm shop behind it. Very traditional Lincolnshire farm. She saw this warehouse rammed to the point of bursting with pumpkins 1 year. And all she said was, could we buy some and I could go home and sell them to my friends? We were like, oh my God.
Hello.
Yes. So I can't remember how many we bought. We maybe bought 30 to begin with.
Sure.
And they just sold within like couple of days.
Yeah, right.
So Matt actually had to go back in his van
and get more.
So we ran with the van, and it just every year it went bigger and bigger. Right. We sold more and more and more, or they sold more and more.
Sure.
In the first couple of years they used to go door knocking.
Right.
Just round here, they had a little trolley, put the pumpkins on.
Perfect.
They went door knocking. Obviously, I'd walk round with them, but they'd go to the door.
They'd do the selling. Yes.
And then I got them like a road sign made. And then people just got to know them. So after 2 years, they didn't have to door knock.
They got repeat orders coming through, yeah.
People came to them. You know, I used to put it on the local Facebook pages for them. So you'd get people like asking for orders and then they'd come to them and buy them. And
amazing.
It was great. Yeah. It was. And it was hard work.
Sure.
It was physical hard work because you were handballing them.
Do you think that experiencing that for four years,
yeah,
do you think experiencing that kind of lifestyle for 4 years and that involvement, do you think that's made them better people as they are today? Because they're still very young, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like how old are they now then?
13 and nearly 16.
So
yes, maybe not right now. Well, yeah, I suppose there are bits of it that come through. Yes, I do think it's definitely made them, because it made them appreciate hard work.
Yeah.
Because you had to handball them out of the warehouse into the van, out of the van onto the grass. We had to size them, handball them into the garage.
Sure.
So it was physical hard work as well, and understanding all the making the money and the profit and the customer service and how can we make it better next year.
So it's made them understand the mechanics.
Definitely,
yeah.
They probably, if you asked them, they probably wouldn't say that now.
Right.
But yeah, definitely think so. And whilst it's not cool now, and God forbid I ever said to any of their friends that they had their own pumpkin business, you know, but I know when they're older,
yeah, definitely,
it'll be like, oh my God, can you remember?
We started when we were 6.
Yeah, yeah, we were like down with it.
Absolutely.
Whereas now it's like, Mum, don't mention it.
Don't mention it.
Yeah.
Is that one more than the other, or is it both of them? Really?
Yeah, they're teenagers, aren't they? It's not cool, is it,
no,
to sell pumpkins?
No.
But it was great. We loved it as a family. It was absolutely brilliant, and it taught them some great lessons.
Oh, amazing. What I mean, like, why do you think that your family, particularly your family, is like that? Like, because you're all entrepreneurial, aren't you?
Yeah.
The kids, your husband, like, why is that?
I don't know, because we don't come. Our families are not.
Sure.
I don't think there's anybody else in any of our families.
Do you spend time with people, like, as a family? What's got their own businesses that's entrepreneurial?
Only since moving to Sheffield and since being in our own business,
because
I think when you have your own business, you then tend to mix
with
people that have got their own businesses.
Yeah.
But before that, no.
Right.
I don't really know where it came from.
Really? It's brilliant, though.
Yeah.
It really is.
It is. Yeah,
yeah,
and we're unemployable now, aren't we?
Got to be, yeah, totally. Totally. So you've had a few businesses.
Mm-hmm.
You've sold your business. And then not being happy with selling the business, you both jumped back into business. Yeah. So you're doing the travel counsellors. Matt's got back into the IT world again.
Yeah, in a kind of different...
In a different...
Yeah, yeah. He's doing more infrastructure rather than the IT support.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So let's talk about that forbidden word, work-life balance, which is a myth,
yeah,
I believe.
I do as
so,
well.
I mean, like, how has that impacted you both? I mean, you're both working in infancy stage businesses again. Mm. So, I mean, does it pull you together, or does it kind of force you apart a little bit?
No, because I think because we've always done it, and because the kids have known no different.
Yep.
You know, we've ran our own businesses since the kids were born.
Sure.
So they don't see any difference. They know no different.
Right.
So you know, for us to open a laptop back up at 8:30, 9 o'clock at night, mm-hmm. to do some work, mm-hmm. the girls don't think anything of it.
Sure.
It's not even, it's just, it is what it is.
Of course.
And I think the whole work-life balance, it's what works for you. There is no right or wrong, is
no.
there? You know,
yeah.
It's like, if I choose to open my laptop back up, that's because I want to do it.
Well, that's the word there, isn't it?
Choice.
Choice, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Last night, I chose not to.
Yes.
Because I knew my head was going to explode.
But as a result of that, you'll live with the consequences.
Yeah.
If things didn't get done, then
exactly.
there's a consequence.
Exactly. So, work-life balance. Yeah, we've got balance.
Sure.
Absolutely. And I think in maybe the early years when the girls were little, maybe Matt's balance, and he would admit this, his balance was not probably as where it could have been.
Okay.
But he was building a business.
Sure,
and
sure.
he was working long hours.
Of course.
And I'd never begrudged that.
Yeah.
You just got on and dealt with it.
Of course
it, just,
you do.
It was what it was.
Of course.
And you just do what you need to do to get the job done, to bring the money in. And you just figure your work-life balance out week by week.
Okay.
Some weeks you might have it better than others.
Yeah.
Some weeks you might work less hours
sure.
than you do the next week.
Of course.
But that's fine.
Yeah.
So it's your own work-life balance.
Of course.
Really?
No, absolutely. I mean, I'm a big believer in what you've just said there, firstly, is that we have choices.
Yeah.
And I don't think there is a work-life balance. I think that nothing can be balanced because eventually it's going to tip.
Yeah.
And I'm a big believer in that. But I think what you do have is integration.
Yeah.
Do you know, like, you can integrate your family into your work and your
yeah.
work into your family and
yeah.
integrate the two together.
Absolutely.
Then you don't need to balance it because
no.
you're doing it all as
yeah.
a family, do you know?
And mine's great because I can integrate meeting my customers for a coffee is my work, but it's balanced because it's nice.
Nice
and it's
as well.
Like, you know, I'm not a slave to my laptop all the
yeah.
time. You know, I go meet people and so I can kind of balance. My work allows me to just balance
sure.
what I like to do,
yeah,
because that's what I like to do.
So how do you manage your relationship in your business then?
I'm just me.
Yeah.
You know, my customers are, they're not my, I don't really like calling them customers, to be
yeah,
fair.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of them are friends.
Yes.
You know, they're either people that I've known for years that have become friends, like you guys,
mm.
or if they're not friends, I get such a good relationship with them as a customer,
yeah,
they become friends.
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
I'm meeting a lady on Monday. I absolutely love this woman's bit. She's in her 70s. And I just find her, I always say to her, I hope I'm like you at your age. I just love her. And she's super fit and she's just like got such a lovely outlook on life. And she's the mum of somebody from networking. And we did a big America trip. Her daughter lives in Australia. Her other daughter lives here. She wanted to take them all to Florida, all the grandkids and stuff. So we did this big trip earlier this year. So for about 7-8 months beforehand, obviously we were meeting up and we were discussing and planning. And then when that trip was done, I was like,
oh.
And I messaged her the other day and went, I'm really missing our chats. Do you want to have a coffee?
Yeah.
So I'm meeting her on Monday for a coffee. Not to talk about, well, I don't know whether we're going
sure.
to talk about any holidays that she wants to book.
Sure.
But just because I really like her.
Of course.
And I actually think of her as a friend, not as a customer.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it kind of just integrates.
Integrates
really.
In
yeah,
that
yeah.
sense, yeah. That's beautiful, it really is. And then in terms of like managing like your relationship with Matt, with your
mm.
husband, like and even the children, do you know what I mean? Like, you're busy people.
Mm.
You know, like, how do you ensure that you spend enough time with the children, doing things with them, as a family together
yeah.
with Matt as a husband and
yeah.
wife? Like, did you want like date nights or?
Well, I think if there's one area that's probably suffering is probably Matt, and I don't mean it's no, for him because we have a great relationship. But
I've seen that as he's just come in.
But in terms of Matt and I going and doing something, just Matt and I.
In fact, the phone call, like when you first called it, I mean, there were a lot of jokey stuff as well. Yeah. So it's beautiful.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we're not into the habit yet because the girls are now at that age where we're actually going out tomorrow night. We're only walking to the local pub for a couple, but now we can leave the girls.
Of course.
You see, over the years when they were younger, we've not got family on the doorstep, so it was always harder. But we're now so now we've got to create a new habit of saying, well, actually, we can go out go have a couple of drinks and come back.
Yeah.
So it's a habit that we're not into yet.
Sure.
So I think the best thing we did was when we sold the IT business was go our separate ways in terms of business.
Right.
Because, yes, we did 5 years together and it worked, but it wouldn't have worked forever.
Okay.
Something would have given.
Sure.
Because we both have different ways of running business.
Of course.
And we never agree.
Yeah. That's a good
thing. We don't agree on the way, Matt runs his business very different to I do. Sure. And we have very different opinions on it, which is fine.
Yes.
If you've got your own businesses, if you're in the same business,
It can. I understand.
So we do manage that well. Time with the girls, now they're older, they're teenagers.
They don't want you no more, do they?
They don't.
Half an hour a day.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of, have that conversation. But I think because I've started years ago involving them in
what you're doing,
in what I'm doing in the netball and sports and interests and things like that, so we play netball together a couple of times a week, me and the girls.
Really, yeah.
You know, we've started lane swimming on a Tuesday night together. So it's kind of integrating keeping fit and active in the sport and spending time with them.
With them as well, yes.
And in school holidays, whilst I can work, I'll always try and mark out a day or half a day and I'll go, right, let's do a girly road trip, let's do something together.
Yeah.
So that's got easier as they've got older, definitely.
Sure. Which is actually one of the questions I was going to ask is that has the children growing up now, has that been a bigger help for you?
Yeah.
Then, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If I look back, it's like anything, isn't it? I think especially when you work for yourself, because you just get on and do it. You get on and deal with it. Whatever's thrown at you, you just deal with it. And it's only afterwards then when you look back and you go, oh my God, actually, how did we do that?
Yeah.
So when I look back at when the girls were born and when there were newborn babies and then toddlers, and that was flipping hard. But at the time...
Sure. You just got on with it.
You just got on with it. You knew it was hard. You was exhausted.
Yeah.
You didn't know which way was up some days.
Sure.
But you just got on with it. So now I think, oh God, yeah, it's so much easier. I don't have to be there for the school run.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, oh, well, I can't meet you at 3 o'clock for a coffee because I need to be on the school run because I don't.
Yeah.
So my days can be longer. My working hours can be longer.
Sure.
They can be more flexible. It's definitely got easier. Thank the Lord.
So going back 4 years almost to the first time you was on the podcast, one of the questions that I asked was, what's some of the biggest advice that you're going to give to somebody else? And one of the things that you said was that...
What did I ramble on about?
What you said is don't overthink things.
Okay.
So you mentioned that you don't overanalyze, you don't really look at a business plan and strategies as such, you just go out, apply and adjust. Has that changed or is that the same?
That is still better. And it's funny because on my run this morning, I was thinking, because I'm preempting like the thing, because obviously listening to your podcast, I know some of what
the
you ask.
The theme that we go in, yes.
So I was preempting some of what you might kind of ask me.
Sure.
And I think I was preempting some of that, actually.
Oh, right, okay.
So no, I'd still work very much the same.
Right.
Do
you think that having a company like the Travel Counsellors behind you, though, what would be very driven through strategy and business plans and forecasts and marketing things, do you think that has slightly changed you at all? Or are you like, literally, no, I'm the same person, I just get out there?
Yeah, same person.
Exactly the same.
And thankfully, I don't need to think about strategy and all that because they do all that. You know, the marketing, the growing of the business, and they do all that.
Yeah.
Yes, of course, in terms, it is my business, and it is a franchise, so I still have, I am running a business.
Of course.
We have, all our figures are obviously, it's kind of there for us all to see. So you can see where you are and how much your business has grown and if your profit margin's gone up, come down, your repeat business. So you can see all that in front of you, which is great. Some days I look at it, some days I don't.
Right.
Some days I take notes of it and some days I go, eh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I still do think like that. I still don't do like strategic business plans, looking at the pounds and pence, and I just go out there and do what I love to do.
Sure.
And I think the rest follows.
Okay.
And I don't know if I used this on the last podcast that we did, but I've got a picture on my desk, and I actually don't know if I bought it from you. You know when you did those posters years and years ago? I can't remember if I bought this one, but it's a bumblebee.
Yes, it is.
It's in a frame and it's smack bang in front of me, and it says aerodynamically, the bumblebee should not be able to fly, but it doesn't know that, so it does anyway.
It does anyway, yeah.
So go out today and make your million.
Make a million, yeah.
And I live by that.
It's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
You know, I'm really good at filtering out stuff, and I don't overthink it.
Sure.
You know, I just get on and do it. And some people say that's not how you should do it. I don't know.
There's a lot, isn't there, in there? Because, I mean, like, I tell a story quite often about a guy called Cliff Young. And Cliff Young was a farmer. He turned up to, like, in Australia, I think it was. They do them ultra marathons, what's like 6 days, 700 miles or something like that in 6 days. And he turned up to run the marathon. And he turned up and he's got his big wellies on, his big galoshes and things like that as well. And this is like, can we help you? He says, I've come to run. And they're like, are you sure?
Yeah.
And he's like, you've not got the right gear. He says, no, I'm fine. I'm used to chasing the sheep around. I'll be all right. Yeah. Like, this is 6 days.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I think I'll be fine. Do you know, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. It'll be quite good fun. And they were like, right, fine, starts tomorrow.
Yeah.
He registered. And he went on and they started. And I think this ties in beautifully to what you've just said there, is that Cliff Young had never done an ultramarathon before. He'd never even run a marathon before.
Yeah.
So he didn't know the kind of systems that they used or the patterns that they used or the sleep patterns. So like most ultramarathon runners, they'll run for 16 hours and then sleep the rest and then get up and then run for another 16 hours. But Cliff didn't know this, so he just kept on running. He run for 6 days straight.
It's like Forrest Gump.
Exactly. This is a true story as well. And he run literally 6 days straight, didn't sleep.
Oh my God.
Broke the world record by about 20 hours.
Because he didn't know.
Because he didn't know anything different.
Exactly.
And I think that ignorance is bliss at times.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
And I think that what you're saying there makes a lot of sense. I think that there's certain things that you need to know.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of the time you don't have to get dialed too into the... You can get derailed by the detail.
Yeah. I mean, when I go to head office and we have these like supplier days and things like that, and you meet up with all different TCs, and when TCs that have come from travel, so they've always been in travel, like 30 odd years or whatever, and then I tell them that I've come through Academy, they go, oh my God, I absolutely take my hat off to anybody that comes through Academy.
Really? Why is that then?
Because they think it's hard enough.
Oh, right. Okay.
The business is hard enough, and they know it.
Oh,
and
right.
You're coming from somewhere that's not travel, and you've got to learn the systems and the rules. And and I go, but we don't know any different.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't have
bad habits.
We haven't got bad habits. Yeah. We haven't come from another system that we worked on or anything. We're coming into this totally open-minded.
Of course.
And so I think ignorance can definitely be bliss, without a doubt.
When does that stop being blissful and being dangerous, though?
I don't know.
I think
I've not come across a dangerous situation yet, so I don't know.
I think it uses a lot of common sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, like, it's like we know there's certain rules that can't be broken.
Yeah.
Like if you eat a lot of crap food and junk food, you know that it's going to be harmful.
Yeah.
Likewise, if you don't get out there and meet people and tell people what you do, you're not going to get any business from there. So,
so
I think there's ignorance and blissful, and then there's just common sense.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's like all the, you know, the news, the media. I don't listen to it. I don't watch it.
Sure.
I never watch the news, and I very rarely listen to the news.
Mm.
You know, I pick bits up that I need to pick up, but I just filter it out.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you'd go completely bloody bonkers, wouldn't you? And you wouldn't do anything.
Ever.
It would paralyse you. You'd be like, I can't do that.
Can't do
that.
This, can't go there, can't say this, can't see that.
Yeah. You know, I can't travel here, I can't travel there,
you'd never leave your house.
No.
Totally.
No. So
yeah, totally. So when we were first speaking 4 years ago, one of the things that and you've touched on it today actually, but one of the things that you said is that you wanted to have a bit of a location independent business where you can do this anywhere in the world.
Mm.
You could be 88 years old, sat in your villa, and still do this. I mean, like, is that still a goal? Do you want to
definitely
location independent?
Definitely. Yeah.
How long does the UK have left of your time?
Oh, it depends how long my kids are at home. I don't know. You know, who knows? It is dependent around your children and your family and your friends. And I think only when the time is right. And I would never just up and leave forever. Uh-huh. It would be like, might go for a few months.
Right.
You know, and then...
And would that be to Rhodes? Or would that be somewhere else, do you think?
Who knows? Yeah, I think possibly Rhodes, but who knows?
Right.
Who knows?
You're open to suggestions.
Yeah. I've still got my eye on lots of property in Rhodes. So.
Oh, wow, okay.
You know, we'll see.
Is this the goal?
It's always been the goal from the day we bought the house.
Yeah.
The goal never feels like it's getting any bloody
closer. Share the goal?
Well, I'll share it, yeah. So we've got our property, and then there's 4 other properties that were built all at the same time. 3 of them are now owned by the Greek bank. They got repossessed. But when we bought ours, you know, Matt and I always talked about the dream of owning all of them. Mm-hmm. And having it as in like a community. So there's big kite surfing and things over there. It's just a great location. It's got the land and everything to it. You could have it as a real community, as like a group of villas. And I still want them villas.
Right, okay.
But just don't ask me how.
Okay. We spoke to the banks?
We've attempted.
Right.
The banks, the Greek banks, are not realistic in what they want for them.
Okay.
Which is bonkers, but anyway. I wouldn't pay what they want for them.
Sure.
Because...
And how long have the bank... I mean, how long have they had them now?
Oh, I don't know.
Do they rent them out themselves? Or do
it's anything? A very different system in Greece.
Yeah.
Very different system. Imagine. So, the builder who built them, and then obviously got them repossessed off him, the banks do allow him to rent them out to pay off his debt.
Okay, right.
So, so, you know, when you get repossessed here, obviously, you know, they nail up the door and no access, but there it's very different.
Sure.
So, yes, the bank's still own them, trying to get an answer from the bank on which bank, and then they want too much money for it. And there is a lot, you know, I don't know how we would ever do it.
Of course.
But it's still...
You don't need to, though,
do I don't, exactly. Yeah. I don't focus too much on the how, because... Yeah. It'd scare myself to death.
Sure.
But on my vision board, there is, you know, there's pictures, and, you know, I'm kind of thinking micro hotels, and, you know, start seeing lots of these things pinging up on Instagram and of people doing it, and I'm like, yep.
Jump into it.
Yeah. Yeah. Who knows? It might be 30 years from now. I don't know.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Karen, it's been absolutely wonderful.
Oh my God, has that time gone already?
It's so fast. It goes by.
Cool.
For everyone that's watched or listened to this, where can they find out more about what you do for
them? Oh, the usual places. So, website is travelcounsellors.com/KarenWilson, I think it is, .com.
Yeah.
Facebook, Travel Counsellors, Instagram.
Sure.
Travel Me, I think it is. But we'll put all the links on there.
We'll put them all in the description. Yeah.
I'm LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram. Don't really use Twitter very much anymore.
Right. Okay.
And the website.
Perfect. And finally,
yes.
To just so this ties into this some continuity there, what's the best advice that you're going to give somebody now?
Do you know what? I'm going to read that saying off my wall look that's behind you. So, never make excuses. Always wake up with a smile, knowing that today you're going to have fun accomplishing things others are afraid to do.
Oh, that's really good. So
there you go.
So never make excuses. That's a really important lesson in itself, just that first line, isn't it?
Yeah.
How many people...
Oh, we could make excuses every day.
Everything.
Every day.
Sorry I'm late. Traffic was busy.
I'm always late. Yeah, we could make excuses for everything.
I needed to put some air in my tyres. Yeah. We're not a milk.
Yeah, see?
Excuses is easy.
Excuses,
isn't it?
Yeah.
And then it goes on to say, always wake up with a smile, knowing that today you're going to have fun accomplishing things others are afraid to do.
And there's another important message.
Really, fun. Yeah, fun. But also doing things that other people are afraid to do.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good advice, isn't
it? Right
there. I remember with, who was it? Who said it? Michael Jordan, I think it was. And he was known for... probably the greatest sports person of all time, wasn't I?
Yeah.
And I remember, and I'm sure it was him, and it was saying, the thing is, when he was in university, he didn't even get through.
Mm.
And a lot of the players that was in the squad, are they called squads in basketball? Whatever it was, their team was a lot better than he was. He says, but he didn't quit.
Mm.
He says, I stayed with it, and they all quit. They didn't even make it.
Yeah.
And they were too afraid, or they'd got other things, they'd stopped having fun.
Yeah.
And he just stayed with it and stayed committed to it, and
exactly.
It served him very well.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, accomplishing things others are afraid to do.
Yeah. I mean, so, that's powerful.
Yeah. That so hopefully my kids subconsciously read that every day. I know they don't sit here and study.
No, but it's subliminal. Yeah, totally,
hopefully
yeah.
when they're sitting having the breakfast that is just, you know.
I find fear is, I know we've finished now, but it's just got me thinking, like fear, I think is a really interesting concept because we look at fear as a stop, but actually there's always a desire linked to fear, isn't there?
Yeah, it can drive you.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Because you're scared of something, usually because there's some kind of desire behind the back of it, isn't there?
Yeah.
And I think that you think about fear, think what happens to you when you're scared, you know, your palms get sweaty, you get a bit flushed.
Yeah.
Do you know, you get a bit hypersensitive to things. But that's the same as excitement as well.
Yeah.
Do you know when you're really excited about something?
Yeah.
So the emotions are the same.
Yeah, and I think it depends what the fear is attached to, doesn't it? You know, in a business environment, in the business world, if you're fear of doing something because of a consequence or a mistake, that's a very different fear.
Fear to wasps.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So it is a fear. Probably with an element of excitement.
What's the acronym for fear, though? It's the false evidence appearing real.
Oh, didn't know that.
Yeah, false evidence appearing real.
Ah, okay.
And I think it is true, isn't it? Like, is a wasp really going to hurt you that much?
Unless you're allergic to them.
Really allergic. That's very unlikely, isn't it?
Yeah.
In business, is the decisions to do something really going to hurt you that bad, or is it just the evidence that you're creating?
Exactly.
Making it seem that way.
Yeah.
So
overthinking. So don't overthink it.
Which ties in beautifully to the advice that you said at the start.
Indeed.
4 years ago. Don't
stop overthinking.
Overthink things.
Yeah.
We are massive overthinkers, aren't we?
Yeah.
You know, we're still looking for tigers behind trees, aren't we? We're trying to stay safe.
Yeah, I've stopped overthinking. You drive yourself nuts.
Sure.
Totally.
Brilliant. Karen, it's been absolutely wonderful.
Thank you
again
very much
for your time. It's been great.
Thank you.